You are Locked On Balls, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is a Friday edition of Locked On Balls, as we do each and every week. Round of applause, everybody. And if you're listening to this early on a Friday morning, you know the drill. Kill the day, kill the day, kill the day. Good Friday, everybody. Locked On Vols at Locked On Vols on Twitter at _Caner. I'm your host, Derek Kane, radio personality here in Knoxville and a writer for the VolQuest.com website, Rivals website, covering Tennessee football and recruiting. Got a fun show coming up here on Locked On Vols. Tennessee, a transfer, announced his commitment to the Volunteers at a position of need. I'll tell you why some people don't believe it's a position of need, but I'll discuss why it is. That's coming up here in just a few minutes in segment one. In segment two, a Q&A. Part 1 and 2 was released by VolQuest.com, a place where I am employed. Brent Hubbs did a good job catching up with Athletic Director Danny White for Tennessee on his first 100 days in the job. An interesting quote from Danny White has got a lot of Tennessee fans all up in arms. We will discuss why in segment number 2. And in segment number 3, with it being draft weekend, of course, round number 1 is in the rearview mirror. We will take a look back in the rearview mirror at some Tennessee football players recently who were drafted, and of course some of the successes and rounds in the early rounds of the NFL draft for Tennessee football. All that here on a Friday show. Again, this is Locked On Vols each and every weekday morning when you wake up. Wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, the new Odyssey app is doing a fantastic job, and pretty much wherever you want to get your podcasts. Do want to remind you guys about the Locked On Today podcast. When you're not listening to Locked On Vols, give it a listen. You can get all the sports news you need in 20 minutes. Locked On Today podcast with Peter Bukowski. He updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help from local experts. You can follow Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, so let's discuss Caleb Tremblay. Caleb Tremblay transferring from USC. He is a defensive lineman, 6'5", 270 pounds. He just completed his redshirt senior season. Prior to arriving at USC in 2018, he was at American River Community College. And he's been a standout player in the junior college ranks at USC. He's ran into some injuries and, of course, this weird COVID year. So I don't think he ever really blossomed into what the Trojans hoped he would be. But still a solid contributor. Since arriving in 2018 to USC, he appeared in 3 games in that season before a knee sprain sidelined him for the rest of the year. And that's when he picked up a redshirt. Still, he made 2 tackles. One against UNLV and one against Stanford. As I look at the bio, that was some of that information you didn't need there. But in 2019, he was a real big contributor for the defensive line, and he's versatile. He can play tackle and end. He appeared in 11 games in 2019. He started twice, had 16 tackles, 3 TFLs. He had a pair of sacks. He missed a little bit of time in a couple games because of a stinger. He did miss 2019 spring practice while recovering from knee surgery. But overall, a solid year in 2019 as a key contributor for that defensive line for the Trojans. And then in 2020, he saw action in just about every game. Yeah, in every single game in 2020. 4 games. He did miss the Arizona and Utah games, but he made 1 start, 3 tackles, a half a TFL, and that was kind of 2020 in a nutshell, just kind of a weird year. But overall, a contributor for USC, a guy that they counted on, and just looking for a new opportunity and to kind of finish off his college experience by taking advantage of this COVID year. 6 days ago, he entered the transfer portal, did Caleb Tremblay. He said, the past 3 years at USC have been an amazing experience. I've grown tremendously as a student-athlete, both on and off the field, while fulfilling my lifelong dream of playing for the Trojans. He goes on to thank Coach Helton and a bunch of other people, but said that he will use this last year of eligibility elsewhere. He's entering the transfer portal. He is a California guy. Again, I mentioned probably a lifelong dream to play for the Trojans. He is from the Sacramento area. He was a 4-star rated prospect in 2018 coming out of JUCO. For the class of 2018 coming out of JUCO, signed with USC in the early signing period of 2017. A reminder, that was the first year of the early signing period. So, man, it feels like forever ago, but it's only been just a couple of cycles ago. And so, highly rated coming out of junior college. He was nationally a number 16 prospect, which is very, very impressive for Caleb Tremblay. And had over, you know, nearing 20 offers coming out of junior college as well. This is all per rivals. So, Caleb Tremblay now in the mix for Tennessee. And I've talked to some of you guys who listen when the news broke. Kind of a constant theme is, or constant question, why is Tennessee taking a flyer on a guy, essentially a rental? Why is Tennessee taking a chance on Caleb Tremblay when he's going to be here for a year and when there's already a ton of defensive linemen? It's one of the most experienced position groups on the Tennessee football team. There are a lot of other needs in other areas. I do agree with you. There are so many bodies on the defensive line. Now, in the spring game, you wouldn't know it because half those bodies were knocked out with some injuries. Elijah Simmons, Darrell Middleton didn't play, Greg Emerson didn't play, Aubrey Solomon didn't play, and so on and so forth. But, to be completely frank with you guys, and again, I'm not trying to be a jerk or a Debbie Downer, there's a lot of bodies there, but how many of those guys do you feel good about playing? How many of those guys do you think are players? I don't think Rodney Gardner believes enough of them are players right now. And so you go out and you get help. It's been no shock. Tennessee's been looking for immediate help in the transfer portal since the start of spring practice and has found their guy in Caleb Tremblay, and he's going to come on and try to help Tennessee win some battles in the line of scrimmage. He's a versatile guy. Again, I mentioned 6'5", 270. He can play the DT position. He can play the DM position. He's primarily a 4-3 defensive lineman. Wouldn't expect to see him out on the edge an awful lot, but sometimes they might get wacky and let him stand up and rush the passer there in a two-point. But we will see. He's primarily a defensive lineman, big guy, and we'll have to see how exactly much he helps Tennessee. But nonetheless, it does add a body into an already crowded room. I mean, you've got all those names I just mentioned. I didn't mention Matthew Butler, didn't mention Jaquan Blakely, didn't mention Amari Thomas, okay? Isaac Washington's status with the team is up in the air right now. He's currently suspended. You've got Dominic Bailey, who's also in the mix. And there's some others that I've failed to mention, and I do apologize. But point being, there's a lot of guys there. There's a whole lot of guys there. But I do believe one of Tennessee's biggest downfalls last season, was the lack of an adequate pass rush. Tennessee's not had good defensive line play since the 2019 campaign when Tracy Rocker was here. 2018 wasn't that great either, but you did have Jarrell Taylor. You did have some other guys who were, you know, playing in the National Football League right now. You had Shy Tuttle. He was there. You got everything you could possibly get out of a guy like Alexis Johnson and Paul Bain. That wasn't a great unit, but it was still okay. Tennessee's unit 2019 was solid. Tennessee's unit in 2020 was horrendous. And when you can't rush the passer, I say this all the time, when you can't rush the passer, it puts your defensive backs on an island, okay? And Jeremy Pruitt loved to play two-man press, okay? And so you are playing man-to-man coverage in the back end, and you've got to be right on that guy whenever there's no pass rush because the quarterback can sit back there and take all day and put the ball right on the money. You put a hand in the face, obviously it makes bad decisions, it affects throws, i.e. look at Hendon Hooker with that pick six in the orange and white game. So a lot of that has to do, in my opinion, with development. A lot of that has to do with the lack of consistency with the position coach because you went from Tracy Rocker to Brumball to Jeremy Pruitt and now, of course, Rodney Gardner. So we will have to see. But Tennessee does bring in a transfer from USC, and his name is Caleb Tremblay, and Tennessee has one spot available, I believe. Don't quote me on this. It's weird kind of how they're packaging all these in terms of class of 2021, class of 2022. I believe Tennessee has one more spot available, and I don't think in terms of just recruiting overall, I think it's going to start picking up here in the month of May for Tennessee, so we will have to see. But Caleb Tremblay, a newest member of Tennessee, made that announcement on Twitter on Thursday evening, and he is going to look to try to make an impact for the Volunteers in the coming season. On the other side, we're going to take a look at a quote from Danny White with VolQuest.com, a Q&A session with Brent Hubbs, and this is the second time publicly that he's made a comment like this. Got a lot of Tennessee fans up in arms, a little upset, and so we will discuss that on the other side. But first, BetOnline. Last night, I made some money at betonline.ag with the NFL draft. Prop bets galore, okay? Anything you can possibly imagine in terms of NFL drafting, you can put money in your pocket. You can do that at BetOnline.ag. Baseball season's in full swing. Of course, you can track all that action at BetOnline. Tons of action. I mentioned the NFL draft. The Kentucky Derby is being forgotten about. The first leg of the Triple Crown, it begins this weekend. Get all the latest news, odds, and information for all your sporting needs, including Major League Baseball, National Basketball Association, National Hockey League, and all of your UFC MMA action. Before the next pitch, head on over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device. Check out all the great sporting news, sign up for the bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get out in the game and let your teams prep for the runs in the playoffs while you can be making some money. Head on over to the website right now or use that mobile device. Sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. All you have to do, use the promo code LOCKEDON. Promo code LOCKEDON for 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. Get in the game with BetOnline. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Segment number two of a Friday Locked On Vols. Guys, thanks so much for hanging out with me each and every weekday. Man, the numbers have been fantastic. I can't thank you enough. And if you want to go and leave me a positive review, 5 stars, please do that at Apple Podcasts. It is 5-Star Friday here on Locked On Vols. And we'll be sure to mention you guys in next week's episodes for all the awesome stuff you're doing. All right, so segment two, going to discuss a quote from Athletic Director Danny White. When he did a sit-down Q&A session with VolQuest.com, Brent Hubbs, and it's gotten a lot of Tennessee fans up in arms. And I keep saying up in arms, and there's some merit behind it because this is kind of the second time he said something like this. And so we're going to play, jury here and decide if this is warranted or if it's not. We'll do it together. Question from Brent Hubbs, and if you haven't checked it out, it was a two-part Q&A series. We released it Thursday morning and Friday morning. Brent did a fantastic job. It's all transcribed, okay? So it goes question, long answer, talking about the football team, the staff, the fundraising opportunities, which is where we're going to get into just now, Josh Heupel, what he views, Tony Vitello. There's a ton, the NCAA investigation. There's so much here. So if you haven't checked it out, I encourage you to do so, volquest.com, tennessee.rivals.com. All right, so here's the question. Brent Hubbs asked Danny White, how important is it that the volume of donors, talking fundraising here, okay? How important is it that the volume of donors increases and it's not just that you are asking the top 5 to 10% for more? How much of it for you is just to increase the number of donors? Danny White is known as a fundraising, a marketing, a branding guy, and he's already implemented the, one of these, the shareholder society last week or 2 weeks ago. So got to try to raise money. And this is Danny White's response to that question. I'm going to read the whole thing, then we'll discuss. I think it's really important. One of the things I've noticed as a challenge, and I knew about it coming in, but it's probably a new challenge for me, is some of the negativity of our fan base. I think that some of it is probably bred from the fact that in a broad base, why we are not asking them to be participants. That's what we are going to do now. We have these unbelievably generous leadership-level donors here that have done so much for this place, and I hope they continue to do an awful lot for the future of our athletics department, and I think they will. But we have to get more people in the fold. We have to get more people invested who we have skin in the game and can start helping us. I think as we do that, obviously financially, those dollars are going to help us invest in our programs, build facilities and those things, but also having active participants out in the communities in East Tennessee, throughout our state and our country, spreading the good word, educating people about the real facts on the challenges we are facing and how we are working to be the best Tennessee everybody wants us to be. All right, let's go back and get the nitty-gritty of that quote that I just read. This is what people are frustrated about. Again, the answer is how much of it for you is just to increase the number of donors? Danny White, I think it's really important. One of the things I've noticed as a challenge, and I knew about this coming in, but it's probably a new challenge for me, is some of the negativity of our fan base. I think that some of that probably is bred from the fact that in a broad base, why we are not asking them to be participants. From the fact that in a broad-based way, we are not asking them to be participants. All right, so If you remember, that kind of sounds like something Danny White said in his introductory press conference, all right? So you remember the text the buddy thing? Let's reflect. This is Danny White in his introductory press conference back in January about, again, kind of some negativity towards the Tennessee fan base. Listen up.
I'm really excited about the prospect of doing that and bringing Vol Nation together, bringing a fan base together from a positive support standpoint. A collaborative effort. It's not just the big donors, the medium-sized donors, all the donors. It's not just the season ticket holders. It's not just our student athletes, our staff. It's everybody that cares about this place. If you're upset or you're negative, text your buddy. Don't put it on social media. Let's build some positive momentum. We're going to have new leadership in our football staff. We have great leadership across the board in all of our sport programs. They need all of our support. And positive momentum comes from everybody that cares about UT athletics. And I'm really looking forward to the charge of hopefully doing my part to inspire that. But again, it's an all hands on deck type of deal. There's no one person that can do that. And if we all work together and get the right people, as I mentioned, on the bus here, I couldn't be more excited about the success that we can have here.
Okay, so those are the two times Danny White has gone on public and kind of said negativity in Tennessee fan base in the same thought. What are your thoughts, okay? What do you take away from this? Are you Jefferson County mad? I can say that because I'm from Jeff County. Are you understanding? Are you kind of on the fence? I'll tell you where I am. I certainly understand where he's coming from, especially in the clip we just played. Listen, and I know this is a small, small, small fraction of the fan base, okay? In no way am I painting with a broad brush, okay? But hashtag Vol Twitter, some of you may be listening right now, and that's completely fine. It can be over the top a lot of the times, on game days especially. It can also be amazing, you know, the majority of the time. And so it is what it is. It's a beast. And, you know, some of you listening right now that engage in that might be smiling right now, and that's awesome. I have no issue. I don't care. But the negativity is there for sure. And again, a small, small portion. And not all of all Twitter's like that. Just, you have outliers. Some people just want to find reasons to be mad. So I'm not trying to say hashtag Vol Twitter. That's not who I'm speaking to right now. I'm just, you know, some people just want to find reasons to be mad. And that's ugly. It looks ugly on social media. I mean, it really does. It really, really does. And social media has grown and grown and grown to where we are now, to where you can't ignore it anymore. I mean, it's not just, oh, that's just Twitter, who cares? I mean, you really can't ignore it anymore. It's so involved and intertwined in everything we do, in jobs, in media, literally anything. Teaching nowadays. But I get it from that perspective. Now, would I have said it? No, because I knew I'd be verbally, you know, punched in the face over and over and over again like Danny White's been. I mean, you know, don't tweet, text a buddy. I mean, come on, bro. like you should know. But again, he mentions it right here as well. A new challenge for me is dealing with some of the negativity. I mean, I appreciate the transparency. I mean, I really do. But in my opinion, when you are trying to be climbing uphill in terms of fundraising, because there are facility upgrades that are needed all across campus. He mentions in here that the golf facility is probably one of the best in the country, but probably everywhere else. I mean, some way more than others. Obviously, Lindsey Nelson Stadium, the South End Zone at Neyland Stadium. Some renovations and upgrades are needed, and you need money for that, all right? And he did a great job in the first part of this Q&A discussing, like, hey, the more resources you have, the more expenses you have. I mean, it's basic economics, all right? And so everyone thinks Tennessee and some of these other big-time programs are rich. In reality, he says they're broke. I don't think they're broke, but point being, just go read it. It's pretty good. So my perspective is, anytime you're trying to spread the word about joining up, linking up, giving money, giving, you know, donating and being a booster, whether it's $200,000 or $50, whatever the case is, okay, I don't think you should personally ever mention the term negativity and something that's, you know, like that towards the fan base when you're asking the fan base for help. That's just my opinion. Did I get Jeffco angry at this? No, I didn't. I really didn't. I understand what he's saying. Do I blame other people for being, you know, angry about this? No, I don't. Again, to each their own, but that's just kind of how I would deal with it. But nonetheless, some interesting comments from Danny White. And this is now the second time he's mentioned the negativity and how this fan base can be negative. And it's never going to go over well. You're 0 for 2, Athletic Director White. You're 0 for 2, so you might not want to bring this up again. That's just my thoughts. Again, what do I know? I just cover the team. I host a podcast. I do radio. I write stories. I'm that guy. So what do I know? But what do you guys think about this? Tweet me at _Caner. Twitter Tuesday's coming up just right around the corner. You can tweet at Locked On Vault, whatever the case may be. But found it very interesting. Wanted to play those clips. All right, so we will move on as the NFL draft continues on this weekend. The first round in the rearview mirror, rounds 2 and 3 coming up later tonight. And then day 3, hoping to hear some Tennessee Volunteers have their names called before it's all said and done. We will take a look back at some of the successes in Tennessee football in the NFL draft. That is how we will conclude our show. But before we get into it, guys, Built Bar. It is the best tasting protein bar ever. Okay, new and improved, 18 plus amazing flavors. 6 brand new flavors have hit the market, including nut and non-nut flavors. 12 original flavors. The bars are covered in 100% chocolate, soft and easy to chew. It looks like a candy bar. It tastes like a candy bar, but it's not a candy bar. It's a protein bar, and it's great for the health-conscious guy or gal. If you're trying to lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat, Built Bar is for you. It's low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber. It is great for the keto diet. Let's look at a flavor profile, shall we? Let's do peanut butter. 19 grams of protein, 180 calories. That's it. 5 grams of sugar, 5 grams of net carbs. Let's take a look at the coconut almond. 18 grams of protein, 180 calories. 5 grams of sugar, 5 grams of net carbs. These things are healthy, guys, and they're tasty. Try it out for yourself. So, while supplies last, hey, free cooler with a purchase. Again, that's while supplies last, so you better get on it right now. But if you go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKED15, you're going to get 15% off your next order. Again, promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off your next order. See what all the buzz is about at BuiltBar.com. Look at there. We've reached the final segment of Locked On Vols here for the work week. We're going to have plenty of action to review from over the weekend on the Monday show. Which VFLs were drafted? Of course, Trey Smith, Josh Palmer going to be playing. Did Bryce Thompson, Brandon Kennedy get selected? Where have they signed? If not, of course, maybe some more recruiting news from over the weekend as we are recapping some here on a Friday show. It's ever so fluid in recruiting. So a whole lot to get into on a Monday show, but we're going to finish strong here. And of course, as we welcome back in here to Locked On Vols, I'm Eric Kane. You've got the NFL draft ongoing. First round was last night. Rounds 2 and 3 tonight. 4, 5, 6, and 7 will be tomorrow. And so, where do you think Trey Smith's going to be drafted? He's mocked anywhere from 2 through 5. Josh Palmer's mocked anywhere from about 3 to 5. Bryce Thompson, Brandon Kennedy, late to undrafted is the projections there. Just wondering, you know, where do you guys think these guys are going to land? And, you know, we've been kind of leading up to it. We've been talking about it all week long. I think Trey Smith will be drafted in the 3rd round. I know things are trending to be 4th round for Trey Smith. I just think that someone has fallen in love with him and will take a chance on the guy in the 3rd round. I mean, gosh, guys, we're not talking about a 1st-round pick here, okay? Yes, there's still financial ramifications. I understand that. But we're not talking about a 1st-round pick here. 3rd round, take a chance on him. And when I say take a chance on him, I mean, because if you're scared about the medicals, it's, you know, taking a chance on the guy. I think that he has a 2nd-round talent for sure. And again, The Athletic rated him as the 5th guard in this draft. So nonetheless, where do you guys think Trey Smith's going to go? Do you think it's going to be 3rd or 4th round? I think 3rd round. I think Josh Palmer will be drafted in the 4th round. I don't think Bryce Thompson nor Brandon Kennedy will be drafted this weekend. I cannot wait to see how wrong I am come Monday when all those predictions are mute. So that's kind of my thoughts on that. But I thought we would kind of take a look back and find some of the success stories for Tennessee football here very recently, of course, and then obviously you know, back in the late 90s and then early 2000s, just so many guys have been drafted and gone on to have really great NFL careers. Of course, Tennessee has produced 372 all-time draft picks dating back to 1936. That also includes AFL draft, which, you know, merged with the NFL in 1967. There's been some Hall of Famers, okay? There's been some really great offensive linemen. But it all starts, you know, that professional journey. It all starts here on draft weekend. So really excited about that. Let's go back and see some of the recent draftees for Tennessee football in a decade that has not been so great in terms of win and losses on the field. Of course, you had Juwan Jennings in 2020, Daryl Taylor, Khalil McKenzie. All those guys were you had Daryl Taylor and Juwan Jennings drafted in 2020. Juwan Jennings still with the 49ers, I believe, on a futures contract. Daryl Taylor, he was a second-round pick, picked 16th overall. The Seahawks moved up to get him, too, so that was really, really interesting. The year before, you had 2 6-rounders in John Kelly, Khalil McKenzie, and a third-rounder in Rashad Golden. I believe all those guys are still hanging around, have really yet to break through, but they are hanging around. Of course, in 2017, you had a trio of fourth-round selections in Jalen Reeves-Maven, still consistently playing in the National Football League and picking up a paycheck. Josh Malone with the Bengals, and of course Josh Dobbs, who just signed a 1-year deal to return to Pittsburgh to back up Big Ben. He had 2 third-rounders in Cam Sutton and Alvin Kamara. Well, we know about Alvin Kamara. Cameron Sutton, a fine NFL career so far. And then you had a 1st-rounder, 14th overall, with Derek Barnett. Boy, that 2017 draft class was really, really good. You have to go back 3 years. 3 years! To see the previous Tennessee football players drafted, all the way back to the draft in 2014. This is that offensive lineman rich kind of a segue here that we're getting into as we go back into the early 2010s. Okay, 2014, you had Juwan James, 19th overall selection, Dolphins. Now he's with the Denver Broncos. He did not play in 2020, opted out. You had Zach Fulton, 6th-round pick with the Chiefs. Boy, he's had a fine NFL career. Chiefs, Texans, a couple other teams in there, I believe. Daniel McCullers, Pittsburgh Steelers, 6th-round pick. Let's go back to 2013. Cordell Patterson, one of the NFL's best kick returners of all time. Of all time. I mean, he was on the NFL All-Decade team as a kick returner. That's incredible. Of course, a wide receiver as well. Signed a 1-year deal with the Atlanta Falcons. Justin Hunter, he was a 1st-round pick, 29th overall, by the way, back in 2013. Justin Hunter, short-lived NFL career, was taken in the 2nd round by the Tennessee Titans. I was jacked up about that when that happened. Dallas Thomas, a fine NFL career in terms of offensive line play. Michael Rivera had a nice career. He was selected in the 6th round of that draft as well. You're getting to some players here. All right, so Luke Stalker, who I believe was playing in the NFL all the way up until 2019. I don't know if he played anywhere last year. He might have been on a roster, but Luke Stalker, 4th round to the Buccaneers. Demaryius Moore, 5th round to the Raiders. And then Malik Jackson, who, I mean, you're talking about multiple Pro Bowls right there. Malik Jackson was drafted in the 5th round value back in 2012. So Eric Berry highlights this entire list. He was 5th overall selection back in 2010, okay, to the Kansas City Chiefs. Eric Berry, it's hard to beat him. Tennessee actually had 2 first-round selections in 2010. Yeah, Dan Williams, they got drafted by the Cardinals, 26th overall. So that was a really, really good draft there. Martario Hardesty was also in that draft to the Browns in the 2nd round. You had Jonathan Crompton later on the 5th round to the Chargers. You had Chris Scott, 5th round to the Steelers. So you had a couple of guys there. Gerard Mayo, 1st-round pick, 10th overall to the Steelers back in 2018. Gosh, he's played, he's coached, he's played, retired, now he's coaching since then. My good buddy Eric Ainge, 5th-round pick to the Jets. That was in 2008. I skipped over Robert Ayers, by the way, and I shouldn't have skipped over Robert Ayers. Only draft pick in 2019, but a 1st-rounder to the Broncos. So we continue to go back further and further and further, and this list is so long. Tennessee does a great job of putting guys into the NFL, but because it's draft weekend, I think it's really neat. I know the 1st round was last night, but in recent memory, you had Derek Barnett, a 1st-rounder, 14th overall in 2017. Juwan James, a 1st-rounder, 19th overall in 2014. Cordell Patterson, 29th overall, 1st-rounder in 2013. You had Dan Williams, 26th overall, 1st round in 2010. Eric Berry, 1st round, 5th overall, 2010. Robert Ayers, 1st round, 2009. Gerard Mayo, 1st round, 2008. I mean, look at all these 1st-rounders in the span of just a couple of years. 1st-rounder for Robert Meacham back in 2007. Justin Harrell back in 2007. A 1st-rounder for Jason Allen back in 2006. So on a when you go on a run here, Tennessee went from 2006, you had 1, 2, 3, four, five, six, seven. You had seven first-round picks from 2006 to 2009. I know that's nothing compared to what Alabama has, but not bad, not bad. So, point being, there is a lot of NFL talent still playing for Tennessee, but Tennessee historically very successful in the NFL draft, and we will have to see how many of these Tennessee Volunteers will be drafted this weekend and start that next phase of their professional career. Guys, it's been fun. Again, talking about the NFL draft tonight, tomorrow, the NFL Draft and the Locked On Podcast Network are working in correlation with the Draft Network, covering the NFL Draft live. You can get the insight and analysis from the Locked On local experts and Draft Network's national experts. Subscribe to the Locked On NFL YouTube page to watch this three-day coverage of the NFL Draft. Again, starting last night, it'll be tonight and tomorrow as well. Our NFL hosts, some of our college hosts who are having a lot of guys drafted, doing just a fantastic job. So I'm telling you, man, check it out. Check it out on the YouTube page. They are doing awesome. It'll be tonight and all day tomorrow as well, what we're doing here with the Locked On Podcast Network in conjunction with the Draft Network. Guys, I appreciate it. I hope you guys have a great weekend. We have a lot to discuss on Monday's show. Try to get in touch with a recent commit for the University of Tennessee, hoping to bring him on the show as well. So we'll have to see exactly how that pans out. But guys, enjoy it, stay safe, and we will talk again on Monday.